Amen. If you would, please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And again, I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. We are excited to bring you the Word of God. I love to share the Word of God. I want to talk to you today about freedom. Everybody say freedom. Now, we're not necessarily talking about economic freedom or political freedom. Thank God we live in a country that we can express our freedom of choice. And I'm talking today about freedom in the realm of the spirit and our minds. Because, you know, one of the things that we learn right away is that our battle as a Christian, really our most difficulties come to us in life because we do not understand that the battle really is up here between our ears. It's in our mind. In fact, the Bible says it's not against flesh and blood, but it's strongholds, see, that have to be pulled down. You can't trust the way that you have thought in the past. You cannot trust the thinking that you had, maybe you were brought up with, or the influence that you had as an upbringing or through some other means of getting information to you. You can't trust that information, really. But what you can trust is the Word of God. You can trust that when Jesus said that the Word will make you free, He said, you shall continue in My Word. If you're going to be His disciples, we have to continue in His Word. And when we continue in His Word, it says we'll know the Word, and the Word will what? It'll make us free, John chapter 8. So it's not just, you know, having the Word on a shelf somewhere. It's not having a big family Bible, and we've got some of those, you know. It's not just what your collection of Bibles and religious materials and all that kind of stuff. It's by having the Word of God on the inside of you that causes your mind to be renewed. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to talk to you about some things here that will be signs to you as you gradually increase in your Christian walk that you live by the Word. Now, let me just make a point to you here before I start. I'm so full up here, ready to spill out on you, but if you do not make a transformation in your thought process, the way you think, you may be a Christian by name, but you will still act like the world. Let me restate this over here. I thought these people were awake. I said, if you do not make the transfer in your mind, the Word of God to come in to change your thinking, your thought process, you may confess your Christianity, but you will look and act like the world. Because the world has one way of thinking, and God has another. And the two shall never meet. And as long as the world is, there will be the world way and the world way of thinking. So he says in Romans chapter 12, have you found it? If you got it, say, I've got it. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Somebody said, the only thing wrong with a living sacrifice is that it keeps getting up off the altar. He said, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or it is the right thing to do. How many of you want to do the right things? Okay. He said, here's how you do it. Verse 2. Do not be conformed. Now let me give you some things this morning. You can write some things down. But underline this word conform. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by, we'll find out, the renewing of our mind. The word conformed, the Phillips translation of this verse says, do not be squeezed into the mold of this world. That's really what conform means, is to be put into a mold. You know, like a muffin pan where you put the batter in and you put it in the oven and all the muffins come out looking like the other muffins. And that's the way the world wants us to be, like in a cookie cutter type mold where we're programmed to think like the world, respond like the world, and act like the world. And when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the world system, the way the world views things, the way the world views marriage, the way the world views economics, and so on and so forth. But those things, again, are contrary to the way God sees things. The way God sees things is totally different than the way the devil or the world system sees things. Are you with me? So when he talks about conformed, it's talking about being put into the mold or the influence of the world. Somebody calculated that we now, as a society, either watch or through the internet or through the TV, through the news media, 5 hours a day of influence. If you multiply that out by an average lifespan, that's 15 years of your life that's being influenced by the world and the world system. No wonder we have a lot of Christians that are still conformed, are still in the mold of the world. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed. Transformed. Now remember, when we come into Christianity, we come out of Egypt. That's a type of our past. That's a type of the world. And so we have to redeem our minds. But our minds have to be, if you will, transformed. We'll get into the book of Colossians maybe next week in Colossians, where it says that we are to set our minds on things that are above and not things that are beneath. We're to have this mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're to learn to think like God. Because a lot of people get saved, but they wonder why they still revert back to doing some of the things that they used to do. Sometimes people say, well, why do I still have trouble? I still use some bad language. I still, you know, addicted to this thing or addicted to that thing. Because even though your spirit was born again, your mind has to become renewed by the Word of God. If your mind is not renewed by the Word of God, you'll still act the same way that you used to act. Thank God that our spirit comes alive and that we're forgiven by Jesus and we become what the Bible calls born again people, and we start to walk by faith and not by sight. So, you know, this morning I know I'm going to shake some trees a little bit here in this message. Is it okay to shake to rattle some cages this morning? Because, you know, again, I want you to understand, you cannot trust what you were taught by man. You cannot trust previous knowledge before you came into revelation knowledge. I heard this story. Now, you may not like this. You may not even get it. But there was a gorilla that escaped from a zoo. And this gorilla got in this guy's backyard and went up in his tree. And the guy got scared, and so he called 911 and said, hey, there's a gorilla in my backyard. He's in this big tree in the back. So it wasn't very long. Here come a man to get the gorilla. Now the man had a big old mean ugly pet bulldog, and he had a set of handcuffs, and he had a shotgun. And the man said, okay, I've come to get this gorilla out of the tree. And he said, now here's what's going to take place. He said, I'm going to get up in this tree, and I'm going to shake that limb where that gorilla is. And when he falls out on the ground, my big old mean pet bulldog is going to grab that gorilla by the throat and paralyze him, and that's when you're going to go put the handcuffs on the gorilla. But the story doesn't end there. Because as the man is climbing up the tree to shake the gorilla out, the man is standing there and he notices his shotgun laying over there on the ground. He said, hey, wait a minute. He said, what is the shotgun for? He said, oh, if I get up there and get to shaking that gorilla and I fall out on the ground, you shoot that big old mean ugly bulldog before he grabs me by the throat. I told you probably wouldn't like that. But how many know we got some gorillas up in our trees that need to be shaken? Sometimes we have some things in the way that we think. But he says that we are not to be, listen to me, conformed or put in a mold. Conformed means put in a mold. Transform means to be taken out of the mold. You saw that little kids movie, The Transformers? You know, where they just transform, you know, all of a sudden there's something, they're a truck, and then there's something else. Well, that's what it means to be transformed. The word metamorphosis, like when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he went up there with Peter, James, and John. And if you remember, his countenance began to turn white, and his clothes, his raiment, the Bible says, was whiter than what any fuller soap or any kind of cleaning soap could turn it. And he was just glowing because the transformation of what was on the inside of him was coming to the outside of him. And that's what we mean by transformation. Even though that we are a Christian, if you think and act like the world, then there will be no difference in you, even though you call yourself a Christian. So it becomes imperative that we renew our mind. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, everybody say prove, what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. How many of you want to do what the will of God is? So there's going to be some things that, and this is the point I want to make to you. If my mind is on the world, if my mind is on this age, and that's what it's talking about, do not be conformed to this world, it's really the word age. As long, again, let me tell you again, as long as the world is, then there's going to be the world way of thinking. The age refers to until Jesus comes, but not just takes the church out of here. But how many know after Jesus takes the church out, there'll be 7 years of tribulation, and then Jesus will come back and set up the millennium. So we're talking about as long as the world exists, there's going to be the contrast of the way the world is, the way the world thinks, and the way that the people of God think, which is a renewed mind, renewed by the Word of God, so we can have the mindset of the Lord. Now, we're going to do all we can do to try to change that. And that involves us witnessing and us getting people saved and doing whatever we can do to influence people with the Word of God. But how many know there's still going to be people that are not going to budge? They're not going to move. They're not going to allow their mind to be transformed or taken out of the mold, because that's all they know. That's the way they're serving God, is through that mold. Are you listening to me? Amen. And so he says, don't you be conformed. Don't be put in the mold of the world, but be transformed or get out of that mold. How do we do it? By the renewing of our mind. And I'm going to give you like five things here that gradually in your life begins to change. Sometimes these things take a while to change, because it takes a while to renew your mind. It takes a while, if you will, to get your mind renewed to the way God sees things. The way that God views things, the way that God and His Word declares things will be. Because there's five key things here in this chapter. Let me show them to you right quick this morning. You don't even have to leave chapter 12. But the first one is in verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you." Now look at this. "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. The first sign that your mind is beginning to be transformed is that you stop being jealous and you stop being competitive of everybody else. There is no room for jealousy. There is no room for competitiveness in the body of Christ. Can I hear a better amen? And we have to understand that pride is what fuels jealousy and competition. We live in the system of the world, and the world is very competitive. It's always trying to outdo the other one. It's putting somebody else down so they can climb higher. It's, you know, it's a competitive. There'll always be enemies. You know, Texas OU games and Texas A&M games will always be enemies on the football field. Come on. So there is the things that exist and the way the world sees things that are not going to change. And we do our part. We have to listen to politicians day after day. How many are tired of listening to politicians? Well, what we need to do is get the politicians saved. Born again. Amen. So they'll be influenced, not by, you know, special labor groups or lobbyists, but they're influenced by the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many like to have a president that's influenced by the Holy Ghost? Okay, so we got to pray. Amen. We got to pray for these things and pray for these elections, because most of it is programming that comes from the world, because the world sees things in one light and we see things in a different light. But God has made us so that we can praise Him. We are the only creation of God that can walk upright in this earth on our two legs, and we have a spirit that's renewed and a mind that's renewed and born again, and we can lift our hands to heaven and praise God. We're the only creatures in this earth that can do that. Did you know that? Nobody else, nothing else can do that. So we give God praise and we give God glory. But here's the first thing I want you to write down. There has to be, if you're going to have a transformed mind, you've got to have a mindset of humility. You know, humility is where we lower ourselves before others so that God can exalt us. Amen. The Bible says that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due season. So the first key of a transformed mentality, of a renewed mind, is, look, I'm not going around on the other side of that coin thinking that I'm no good, that I'm just a worm crawling around the dust, always putting myself down. You ever hear people just constantly put themselves down, telling how no good they are, all this and that and all that? Listen, you have been made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been made in the very image of God Himself, and God doesn't make junk. How many have heard that before? So we have to realize that there's one side of that. Yeah, we don't want to puff ourselves up. It says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Think. Where do you think with? I mean, what do you think with? You think with your mind, don't you? So we don't want to get where we're out here somewhere puffed up and we got to, you know, put this guy down or put this one down or put that one, you know. We don't get in that competitive state, because that's the way the world does it. Amen. Then we become jealous and we become envious, and then we become full of pride. And if we're full of pride, how many know we're headed for a fall? Amen. So we've got to see these things. And then verse 4 through 6 talks about us being members in the body of Christ. See, we're part of a family. We're part of a chosen generation. We're part of a royal priesthood. Are you with me? And we've been called. We've been chosen. We've been selected by God. So every one of us in here are somebody in Christ. Every one of us in here have a purpose from God, and we have a destiny to fulfill in God. Every one of us have been given ministry gifts. And that's what the highlight of verses 4 through 6 is, talking about how we are members of one another. Every Christian in this room has something to offer to the body of Christ. And he goes in, it may be a teaching, it may be administration, it may be prophecy, it may be ministry, it may be, you know, who exhorts and exhortation and so on and so forth, showing mercy. But all these are what we call ministry gifts. And everyone has been given a gift. Now, the world calls these things talents. But listen, God calls them gifts. And if something is given to me, I can't get puffed up and prideful because I have a gift from God. Because it was God who gave it to me. Are you listening to me? It's not by my DNA. It's not by my pedigree. It's not what college I went to. It's because I got born again and He gave me a measure of faith. And the gift of God is to be used in the body of Christ. I can't brag about having it. All I can do is use what God gave me to use. Amen. I know it didn't come from me. It didn't come because of my personality. It didn't come because of my IQ. It didn't come because of anything but the grace of God. And so if it came by the grace of God, then I've got to give God all the glory. Just like Jesus, there has to be this spirit of humility about When Jesus, you know, the day of Passover before His crucifixion, He took a basin, the Bible says. He departed for a little while and came back with a basin and a towel to wash the disciples' feet. Now think about that. Here is the God who created the feet to begin with, now humbles Himself and washes the feet that He made. Peter said, oh, wait a minute, whoa, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. You're talking about a humility, a spirit of humility. See, the first sign, the first way you're going to know that you really are walking in this renewed mind of being a Christian is that you walk in a spirit of humility. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Humility is a mentality. It means you never overinflate yourself. You don't go around promoting yourself. You don't compete with others like in ministry. You're always applauding the success of others. You're always trying to, if you will, when we read it here in a minute, prefer the other. I told you, you're not going to like some of this stuff, but we're going to read it anyway. Amen? Now, look what it says in verse 11. Are you with me? Here's the second thing. It says, not lagging in diligence. Look at it in verse 11. I know you want to rebuke some of these scriptures, but I want to read them to you. It says, not lagging in diligence. Now, each one of these verses is going to talk about a different mentality. Are you with me? Not lagging behind in diligence. The word lagging is the word where we get slowpoke, where we get, you know, lazy and indifferent. A lot of people are slow mentally. I don't mean retarded. I mean slow in their mentality of making decisions. They're always going by what they feel. Sometimes they wake up in the morning, they're depressed. They're discouraged. They're just, you know, down in the dumps. And so the second thing you need to write down here of the sign of a renewed mind is that you're enthusiastic. Enthusiasm. Everybody say enthusiasm. Okay. The first one is humility. You have a renewed mind and you're humble in your spirit. And then the renewed mind becomes positive. Look, it says, not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. What? Serving the Lord. Not sit around and be depressed. Not sit around and talk about the blues all day and how discouraged that you are and how always me and why do these things always happen to me, but that you wake up enthused because you are a new creation in Christ. God has made you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Praise God. And God has made you, hand-selected you, hand-picked you for such a time as this. You ought to get up in the morning and start singing, the saints go marching in every morning. Get that shower going, gargle with a little of that hot water, put your hair back and shout and shake your wife a little bit and say glory to God. Woo! You ought to wake up like Fred Flintstone. Yeah, yabba dabba doo. Devil, I'm getting ready to come after you. Ha 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 ha, yeah. Slap Wilma around a couple of times and say, hey. I said, hey. They didn't have much Christian TV where I was. Say yabba dabba doo. Instead of getting up and saying, oh man, I don't know if I can make it through another day. See, you like the turtle and the tortoise, you know, just flopping to life. Oh, that's how people's minds are. They can't make a decision about anything. Everything they see is negative. Everything is about complaining. Oh, I don't know how I got such a raw end of the deal. I think about those 12 spies. Now remember, all 12 of them saw the same thing. They all went into Canaan land, saw the same giants, saw the same big tall walls, all that stuff. And 10 of them came back with that bad report, that negative report. Said, oh man, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Oh, those walls go all the way to heaven. Those giants, they're big. But those two, Joshua and Caleb, were of a different spirit. They were of a different mindset. They said, we are well able to go up and take the city because God is for us. Do you understand the difference between the mindset of the world, the mentality of the world? The world says, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't do it. But God says, in Christ, you can do all things. Through the Lord who strengthens you. I'm about to preach myself happy. Glory to God. So, fervent in spirit. I want the people. I want the people of Church of the Living Word to be on fire. Hot for the Lord. Glowing. Fresh. Come on, stand up, stand up, stand up. Shake your fist. Shake your fist. In the neck. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Stand up and say, I have been given power. Power. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Say, well, we don't do that in our church. Hey. Hey. That's what you've been taught. How many know that people are not sitting up in heaven crying how depressed they are right now? Heaven is full of overcomers. Heaven is full of victorious living people. Yeah. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Excited. Enthused. Not, oh no, it's Sunday again. So, has to be a spirit of humility. There has to be this enthusiasm. Oh man. Now look at verse 12. rejoicing in hope. Well, I don't have no hope anymore. Well, that's your problem. See, people get negative about everything. They get lemon and don't know how to make lemonade. In tribulation. You say we're supposed to get happy. In tribulation. I didn't say it. The Word says it. The Word says when your mind is renewed by the Word. See, tribulation is the was the word derived from the Roman tribula, which was a big old giant wheel with teeth that went around crushing the grain to make flour. And it round and round. It symbolizes and really means the pressure and the weight and the stress that tries to come upon us. And the Bible says, hey, listen, in tribulation, we still need to rejoice. Here's the third one I want you to write down. You got to have endurance. Come on. We're talking about the signs of a renewed mind. A renewed mind is not somebody that puts himself up and gets competitive and tries to exploit themselves, but a mind that stays humble, a spirit of humility. It's not a mindset that's depressed and always looking at negatives and always looking at all the bad things and all the problems, but it's a mindset that stays enthusiastic because they're serving God and they know that if God be for them, who can be against them? They know, according to Philippians 4:13, that if God be for them, who can be against them? But they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Here's the third one, okay? You've only got to have a spirit of humility. You not only need to be enthusiastic. I'm talking about this is signs that you'll know that your mind is working. Your mind's not slow. This is the way you know that you're walking in a renewed mind. And then here's the third one, endurance. See, the second one has to do with inner motivation. This third one has to do with problems that you encounter. Well, I'm just going to confess, brother, I don't ever have no problem. Well, just go ahead and confess it. But Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen? So, it's not the fact that you're never going to encounter problems in life. It's how you go through the problems. Come on. Every one of us, if we live long enough, are going to face some pressure, some tribulation. We're going to face some onslaught because the devil is real and he wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to take us out of our hope, our joy. But hope deferred, the Bible says, make the heart sick. So I'm going to stay full of faith and I'm going to stay full of hope. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Come on, somebody. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen. I just thought, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. I'm just walking through. I'm going to come out. I said, I'm going to come out. You may have heard this before, but everywhere there's a shadow, it's got to be a light. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I'm just going through. I ain't going to camp there. I'm not going to let myself be depressed there. I'm not going to let myself get down in the dumps there. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep trucking. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep walking by faith and not by sight. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Some of y'all just need to be encouraged a little bit. But the way you get encouraged is to renew your mind. Quit worrying about if somebody's better than you. There's always going to be somebody better than you. Quit worrying about if somebody steals your job. Hey, God will give you another one. Endurance is not that you will never go through a problem, but it's what you do in those problems. How many know there's only one thing, and I know only one thing in the world that lacks hot water? Christians don't like to go through hot water. Help me out a little bit here. How many of you know there's one thing that lacks hot water? You know what that is? That's right. Did you hear that? Say it again. A tea bag. Now, we don't like hot water. But here's this little tea bag setting up in a little box on a shelf behind a closed door, sitting there in the dark, all alone, in a mold, looking like all the rest of the little tea bags. And all of a sudden, the doors swing open. Here come the light. And here come some mighty fingers reaching down in that tea bag and makes a hand-picked selection of the tea bag. How many know you've been hand-picked? You've been selected by God. Woo! You have... There's that tea bag just all in that box, all in the blues, all in the dark. And all of a sudden, some mighty fingers reach down and puts that tea bag into the cup. And the cup is then filled with the boiling water, the hot water, the tasteless hot water. Tasteless hot water. Have you ever drank hot water? But when you put the tea bag into the hot water, the hot water turns into tea. Oh, the beautiful flavor of tea. You're like Job, a man of integrity. Have you considered my servant Job, the Bible says. The devil went and he destroyed Job's possessions. Killed his family, took his cattle, took his prized possessions, took everything but his nagging wife, his wife. And his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "Woman, shut thy mouth." No. 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 He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Woo! Woo! Job never found fault with God, and Job would never listen to anybody that want to blame God. He stayed enthusiastic. He said, "Even though the Lord slay me, I will praise the name of the Lord." He didn't have a revelation that God's not the killer and that God wouldn't take that stuff from him. It was the devil. But yet, he had the mentality of a renewed mind that stayed positive even through his lowest moments. Are you with me, church? Can you take another one? Listen, when Christians get in hot water, they respond differently. Hello? When hot water comes upon the Christian, oh, they turn the hot water into the flavor of tea. Well, I should say the flavor of Jesus. Amen? Because we don't look at things the way the world looks at things. We know whatever we're going through, we're just going through. We know it may be cloudy today, but the sun is shining in the morning. We know that there may be tears at night, but joy cometh in the morning. Woo! Hallelujah! Our Redeemer lives. Now, look at this fourth here. I got to hurry. You probably don't want to hear this one. Maybe I ought to just stop while I'm ahead. I told you I'd give five, so I got to give you five. Now look at this. Look at verse 13. Are you ready? Are you sure? Because if you don't have a renewed mind, you ain't going to like this. We're shaking some gorillas, aren't we? Praise God. Just keep that shotgun handy. All right, what does it say? Verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Oh! Bless those. Are you there? I know you don't want to read it, but bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, if your mind is thinking like the world thinks, you're not going to like people doing ugly things to you. Woo-hoo. You're going to retaliate. You're going to keep score. And bless God, I'm going to get even someday. No. It's kind to others. Gives to others. It don't look at the caller ID and say, oh, no, I ain't going to answer that. Oh, that's my friend, but my friend always needs something. I'm busy today. Hello? You seen that, you know, a friend in need is a... No, a friend in need is a pest. It was a bumper sticker, really. But that's the mentality of the world. Don't bother me now, I'm busy. Oh, you see somebody, they're probably going to want something. See, you're driving down the expressway, and oh man, it's crowded, and somebody just pulls right in front of you, you have to throw on the brakes. What are you going to say to them? Say it again. Roll down the window and say, smile and say,
God bless you.
Bless and not you're going to the mall or HEB, and boy, you see that parking spot, here's somebody coming backwards and drives right in there. What are you going to say to them?
God bless
you. Say it again.
God bless you.
Roll down that window, smile.
God bless you.
Bless those. See, the fourth sign of a renewed mind is that you're not trying to retaliate. You're not trying to get even. Hello. It goes on to say here, can I read just the rest of this? It says, bless those who persecute you. The fourth mentality, I'll just give it to you. It has to be the mentality of a giver. Not necessarily money. Not necessarily money. But just given to hospitality. Amen. Given. Seeing a need. I know God's not moved by need, but we see need. Yes. And maybe that person has a need, is operating in faith. Right. And God wants to use you to meet that need. Amen. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on who? Oh, depends on you, live what? Peaceably with all men. Hey, you try pastoring a church for 25 years, you're going to get shot at a lot. But the Bible says, as long as it depends on you, live peaceably. So I can't really get frustrated. I really can't get in an uproar how other people treat me or talk about me All I can do is live peaceably. I can control that end of the stick. Are you with me?
Amen.
See that mentality, that mindset. And then here's this last one, okay, in verse 19. It says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay.'" Had somebody tell me one time, said, "I'm going to get even with that brother if it's the last thing I ever do." I said, "Well, are you sure?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You got scripture standing?" He said, "Yeah. The Bible says, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay.'" I said, "Well, wait a minute, brother. You need to read the last part of that verse." "You didn't read it all. 'Vengeance is mine, I will pray,' saith the Lord." And then verse 21, I got to turn the page here. It says, "And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, think about it just a second as I close this. Here's Joseph with his mean brothers that threw him down in that pit, sold him into slavery for 20-something years. All of a sudden, he's prime minister of Egypt, and the whole world is starving to death. And here come his brothers. And they have to go before Joseph, and they kneel down and bow their knee. And Joseph says, "Get up, brothers, I am Joseph." Oh, man, I bet you their heart just fell out of their... They thought he was fixing to waylay them. I mean, 20-something years, you made me suffer through the house of Potiphar, you in the prison and in slavery. But he looked at them and said, "What you intended for evil, God turned it around for good." The last mentality of a renewed mind is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Are you with me? Actually, Joseph, you know what he did there? He actually thanked his brothers for what they did, putting him in that position so he could save them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Have we climbed to that level yet? Where when we stop and think about what others do to us, that actually it's putting us in a position to even serve and fulfill the will of God for our life? Do you see why it says that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? It has to come through what? A renewed mind. Think about it just a moment. Think about Jesus. Come on up, brother. Think about this. Here's Jesus, the five wounds. It's almost Easter time. Jesus was wounded in his hands. He was wounded in his feet. He was wounded in his head. He was wounded in his side. But yet he possessed, he possessed all these attributes of a renewed mind. Of course he did. He was the Son of God. But yet, even though he operated in these things, look, humility. Think about it. They stripped him naked in public, nailed him to a cross, and beat him, but yet he opened not his mouth. Spirit of humility. And in this enthusiasm, he said, "I must go to Jerusalem and die." He looked forward. And then what about the endurance? The Bible says in Hebrews that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. How about giving to others? Jesus was more than willing to lay His life down to become a sacrifice, a sacrificial Lamb of God that was slain so that you and I could operate in this fourth mentality, forgiveness. How many of you needed forgiving? And Jesus stuck out His hands, nailed to that cross for those 5 hours or so, in all that pain and all that agony. Yet He said, Father, forgive them. In actuality, He was again thanking them for putting Him in that position so He could be the Savior of mankind. You're talking about a renewed mind. Stephen, I could go on and on. Stephen, stoning him to death. Stone, big old stones, rocks, hitting him to the point of death. And the Bible says he looked up to heaven and his countenance metamorphosized. It transformed and became a glow of the glory of God. And what did he say? Charge not this sin against these men. Forgiveness. You see, there's the same type of people in churches everywhere. There's one group of people that come into a church, even on Sunday mornings. They don't even know why they came in. Maybe somebody invited them. Maybe somebody talked to them. Not even sure why they came. Then there's another group that comes in, but they've allowed the mentality of the world to influence them, because they do not have a relationship with Jesus. And so they've never transformed their minds. Then there's the religious group. They come into church too, you know. Well, they're probably saved, but they still act like the world. They're very faithful at church because they're religious. But yet again, they've never allowed the Word to transform their mind, so they still act like the world. And then there's the fourth group that are saved. They've allowed that Word to transform them. I don't know where you fit, and I'm not here to point fingers, but I want you to bow your heads a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I just came in. I heard that, you know, y'all had something going here, and I wanted to come see what it was. Let me know, you're going to have to give your heart to Jesus to have eternal life. Maybe some of you are here that, you know, you don't hear preaching like this, so you've never allowed the Word to make the correction and adjustment to your ways of thinking, so you've just stayed that way. You've never allowed the transformation to come forth. You're still allowing yourself to be influenced by Uncle so-and-so or this person or that person and not the Word of God. So you struggle through your Christian walk. Listen, maybe you're here today and you're very religious, you're very faithful, but yet it really doesn't mean much to you. Whatever condition you're in, there's a Savior in the room this morning. It's not the pastor, but it's the Spirit of God. Jesus has sent His Spirit to all men. It's up to us to receive or reject. Christ is here to save us. Save us from our sin. Save us from the mentality of the world and the way the world thinks. If you're in this place today and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray that today I can start the process of a renewed mind? I can become born again, but not just born again in my spirit, but my mind now be bathed and washed in the Word. I remember a long time ago, one of my co-workers, I got born again. I was radical. And they said, the problem with you is that you have been brainwashed. I thought about that a minute and I said, yes, I have. The only difference is I'm choosing now who washes it. I'm serious. Call my supervisor, almost got me fired. But you know what? I stayed true to God. If you're here today and you say, would you pray for me, Pastor? I'm not born again. Lift your hand in the room. If you're not sure that you're saved this morning, lift your hand in the room.